In Mark chapter 11, the Word of God tells us about an occasion that happened right after Jesus had gone by a fig tree and he had spoken words of condemnation to that fig tree, and the tree withered up. And that's where we're going to begin reading. In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 20 and reading through verse 24, the Word of God says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to the remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." If correctly read, that's Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we need your help every day. We know that we can't even draw the next breath without thy blessings upon us. We know, Lord, that you're the giver of life and the sustainer of life, and we thank you for sparing our lives and the lives of our family and friends and the members and friends of the church through another night. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together in thy house to try to worship thee this day. Lord, we need thy help. We know that without thee we can do nothing. We ask you to help us to be able to read and study, hear and understand and believe and obey thy holy word. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have faith in God. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you, not just to believe in you, but to believe you and believe all that you say. We pray that you would help us to be doers of thy word and not hearers only. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for sending the showers of rain upon the earth. We can never thank you enough for all the blessings we have. And it's just an example of the fact that we take rain for granted because you've always supplied it. And yet we've had a long season of drought now, so we feel thankful for the rain. We thank you, Lord, for it. And we pray that you would send more rain to water the fields and to water the fires, put the fires out, to send the rain that the trees and the flowers and all of nature needs and the farmers need. And we pray that you would bless the farmers with good crops this year. And Lord, we thank you again for blessing some that have been sick to be doing better. We thank you for those that are undergoing treatments for cancer. We pray that you would bless them and bless the work that the doctors are doing, that it be for their good, and they'd be completely rid of all the cancer. We know that you're the great physician. We trust you. We believe in you, and we have faith in you that you will heal and lift up. And we thank you again now for blessing many of them to be doing better. Bless those who have just found out that they have cancer. We pray that you would bless them. Be with all the sick and afflicted. Lord, you know the needs of every person that's here today. And you alone know the burdens of every heart. But we know that you do know and you do care. And we pray that you would help us to feel and know that you are touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that you know all about our troubles and problems, and we pray that you would help us to cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you do care. And again now, we pray that you would bless this coming week of worship and recreation, that you would bless us to be able to worship thee, that you would help us to study thy word, that we would learn more about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that you would help us not just to learn, that you would help us to put those things into practice in our lives, that we would truly be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world, that we would be an influence for good in the lives of others. Help us now. Bless us in this hour. Help us to hear and understand, believe, and obey thy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our precious Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to think this morning about the last four words in the 22nd verse, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Those are four very simple words, and yet they're some of the greatest needs. That's one of the greatest needs that we all have, is to have faith in God. The Word of God, when it talks about having faith in God, it's talking about believing God and trusting in God. Many other terms that we could use that are meaning things very similar to having faith in God. We need to learn to trust God more, to put our faith in God, not to put our faith in men or the things of men, but to put our faith, have faith in God. Now, the Word of God tells us that there are times that the people of God have no faith at all. The Word of God speaks about children of God in whom was no faith. Then the Word of God tells us about children of God that have little faith. The Word of God says that Jesus spoke to His apostles and said, O ye of little faith. Now, God gives us faith, but sometimes we don't exercise that faith. And that's what Jesus is telling us right here, is that we need to exercise the faith that God has given us. We need to trust in God and believe God. We need to have faith in God. And we need to do that every day of our lives. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to believe God every day. The Word of God tells us that when Jesus went about doing great miracles, the Word of God says in one particular place, that He did not many mighty works there because of their what? Their unbelief, their lack of faith. They were not trusting in God. They were not believing God. And because they did not believe, therefore, Jesus did not do many mighty works there. A lack of faith is one of the reasons that God does not do many mighty works. In fact, Jesus made the statement on one occasion, according to your faith. He said that several times. According to your faith be it unto you. In other words, if you don't have faith, then you're not going to receive as many blessings as if you do what Jesus says right here, have faith in God. As we read the Word of God, we read about some people that have a tremendous amount of faith, while we read about others that have very little faith. Do you find that in your life that there are seasons that you seem to have much more faith in God than other seasons? Do you find that there are some times that you're almost, in fact not almost, but do you find times that you are ashamed at how little faith you have in God? How little you trust in God? How sometimes we worry and we fret, and often it's because we're just not having faith in God. We're not putting our confidence in God. We're not trusting God. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. We must have faith in God. We must trust God. We must believe God. The Word of God says, take heed, brethren, lest there be, talking to brethren now, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. If we don't exercise our faith, we're going to be guilty of unbelief. And unbelief is a sin. Not exercising our faith is a sin. But when the people of God do exercise their faith, when they take that faith that God has given them, and they exercise that faith, and they're strong in faith, God is glorified. And the people of God are edified. Isn't it wonderful to see somebody that is strong in faith? Do you know some individuals that you know by the way they're living, that you know that their faith is in God? Does that mean, let's just take, for example, physical problems. Let's take sickness. If you have faith in God, does that mean that you're not supposed to go to a doctor? Doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that as you go to the doctor and as you take your medicine and everything else that you do, that your faith is not in the doctor, your faith is not in the medicine, but your faith and your confidence is in God. You're praying for God to to bless the work that the doctor is to do. You're praying for God to bless the doctor with wisdom to know how to help you. You're praying for God to bless the medicine. Above all and everything else, our faith and our confidence must be in God. Have faith in God. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 27, there was a great storm going on right here in Acts 27. And all of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, but the Word of God tells us that all the people, that all hope that they would be saved was lost. Have you ever felt that way about America? Have you ever felt like all hope is lost? That no matter what we do, it looks like we're going to just be destroyed as a nation. Well, what I want to tell you this morning is that it doesn't matter how bad things look, I want you to know that we ought to have faith in God. We ought to know and believe and understand that if God were to intervene, that we could once again be restored to being a nation that really fears and loves and obeys God. But we need to have faith in God. In Acts chapter 27, there was a great storm going on. Paul was in the ship. I want to begin reading in verse 22. And I encourage you to look at the Word of God in Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 22. Acts 27, beginning in verse 22. The Word of God says, after all the storm was going on, and they had done everything they could to save themselves, and nothing was to any avail. In Acts 27, verse 22, the Word of God says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now, the only reason, and by the way, Paul was also greatly disturbed during this storm. But now, Paul is feeling differently because God has come to him and spoken to him through an angel. And now, because he's had that confirmation by the Spirit of God that things are going to be well, he now comforts the other people and he says, I now exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Let me just pause right here and say that every one of us needs to remember what Paul said right here. He says, there appeared unto me an angel of God, whose I am. I belong to God. Now that's important for all of us to remember, isn't it? That's what Paul's saying, whose I am. That means I belong to God. Did you know you belong to God? Every one of you, if you love God, that's an unmistakable evidence that you've been born of the Spirit of God. If you love God, you've been born of the Spirit of God, you're a child of God, and you belong to God. You don't belong to yourself, you don't belong to someone else, you belong to God. And because you belong to God, you are precious. You're precious. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that ought to cause you to feel better because you know that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul felt good right here. He says, the angel of God appeared to me, God whose I am and whom I serve. Did Paul serve the Lord? Was he a perfect man? He wasn't perfect, but did he try to serve the Lord? Did he walk by faith? Did he live by faith? Did he go into places that he thought he would be killed? How could he go into those places? Because he had faith in God. And right now in the middle of this storm, he has faith in God. Because the angel comes to him. He says, God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, here's what the angel said in verse 24. The angel said, fear not, Paul. If you have faith in God, are you going to be afraid? Think again. Listen. If you have faith in God, are you going to be afraid of... I'm not talking about fearing God now. I'm talking about of events and of men. Are you going to have any fear of the world and the things in the world if you have faith in God? I do not believe that you will. Not while you have faith in God, while your faith is strong, you will have no fear. It's faith that drives that fear away. The Apostle Paul was still in the middle of the storm. His faith was in what the angel of the Lord told him. If I'll just believe what God says, it will drive away fear from my life. I have no reason to be afraid. And you have no reason to fear. Because you belong to God. You're precious to God. And you need to trust in God. Can you think of anybody? You know, I trusted my daddy. I trusted my daddy. And I don't think he ever let me down. I don't remember any time that he ever let me down. I trust my mother. I know that if I called on her, she'd come and do anything she can. I know that my mother's not going to do me any harm. I trust my wife. There are many of you that I trust greatly. And it's because we trust in people, and I'm not saying that's wrong, there's a degree of trust we ought to have, but trusting in people gives us some peace when we're around them. And when I trust in God, I have peace in my soul because I know God loves me more than my daddy and more than my mama and more than anybody else. If I can trust them, I can trust God far greater because God is able to do everything that needs to be done in my life. And God loves me more than anything and anyone else. Therefore, I can have faith in God and I can trust in God. And when I'm worrying about the things of this world, it's an evidence my faith is not in God, and I need to pray that God will help me to hear what Jesus said to these people here. He said, have faith in God. Trust in God. And so he says in verse 24, Paul says to the people in the ship, in Acts 27, verse 24, he says, fear not, Paul. This is what the angel said to Paul. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Listen to verse 25 now. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer for... What are the next three words there? For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Here's what Paul said right here. He says, have no fear, because I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Brethren, I hope that as I grow spiritually, I hope that I, more and more as I read the Word of God, I hope that I can begin to say more and more, I believe God, that it shall be even as He told me. I believe that everything God says in His Word, that God will do. I believe that one day Jesus is coming back to this earth and all the saints of God who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe Jesus is going to come back and take us home to be with the Lord forever. And I look forward to that day that we'll be with the Lord. But I am also thankful to tell you and have peace in my soul that I don't have to be afraid of anything in this world. I don't have to be afraid of cancer. I don't have to be afraid of heart trouble. I don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't have to be afraid of the government failing because my God will not fail. Did you know God's going to take care of you? If your faith is in the Social Security system, you better fasten your seatbelt. You better hold on tight because you're headed for trouble. If your faith is in money, if your faith is in anything other than God, if your real confidence is in something else, you're headed for trouble. Why? Because God will not allow His people to put faith in something else rather than trusting in God. Have faith in God. Depend on the Lord. I believe God. This is what Paul said. Now he said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you believe that if you train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when they're old, that they will not depart from it? Do you believe that? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you believe that if you serve God and if you're faithful to God, do you believe that God will give you that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, it's because you're not using the faith that God's given you. Because God has promised that when we follow His Word and we keep His commandments, we will have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The only reason I don't have that peace is either because I'm not obeying God. Well, in fact, that's the only reason. Is because I'm not fearing and obeying God. That's the whole duty of man, is to fear and obey God. Have faith in God. I believe God. Can you say that this morning? There's a difference in believing in God and believing God. And Paul right here doesn't just say, I believe in God. He says, I believe God. I believe what God has said. Do you believe that when a church follows the teachings of God's holy word, do you believe that God will bless that church? Indeed, He will. Do you believe that God will bless a family? Do you believe that God will bless your personal life if you do what God tells you to do? You need to be able to say like the Apostle Paul right here, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you believe if you put God and His church and His cause and kingdom first? Listen carefully to what I'm about to say now. Do you know why some people aren't in the house of God this morning? Do you know why some people aren't here? Because they don't believe God. Will God take care of you? Will God take care of you? I'm going to put a capital if. If you put God first, God will take care of you. On the other hand, if you put something else before God, instead of God taking care of you, God will come in judgment and you'll experience something far worse than you can imagine. Have faith in God. God will provide. If you put God first, God will provide. Turn in your Bibles to Let me go to one other scripture. Turn forward just two or three pages to Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to go back to Matthew and listen to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at Romans chapter 4. Please look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 4. Did Paul believe God? As we just read in Acts chapter 27, did Paul believe God? He said, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Did it happen? Did everything happen exactly the way Paul said it was going to happen? Yes. Did Paul make it happen that way? No. Paul didn't make it happen. God made it happen. But Paul was not able to make it happen. But God was able. In Romans chapter 4, listen, beginning in verse 19. Was Abraham a man that believed God? Was Abraham a great man of faith? Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Brethren, if you are faithful, you can go back and look at Abraham's life and you'll see that if your faith is strong, you'll see that in Abraham's life, you'll see a tremendous amount of faith. You just go back and study the life of Abraham, you'll see he was a man that had faith in God, didn't he? Had faith in God. God blessed his life. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. The Word of God says, and being not weak in faith. Can you be weak in faith? Can you be strong in faith? Are there times you're weak in faith and sometimes you're strong in faith? I just find that problem in my life. I have not been able to find in my life that I was strong in faith and it stayed that way. I find sometimes that I feel strong in faith. Then before I realize it, I find myself weak in faith. I find times that I have no doubt and no fear. And then I find other times that something will happen and my faith is shaken and my belief and my confidence in God is not what it ought to be. When that happens, I need to pray and I need to beg God, help me, have faith in you. I need to beg God to strengthen my faith. I need to beg God to help me to use the faith that He's given me. God gave faith to Abraham. Abraham was not weak in faith. You notice the wording there? And Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You hear what the wording is there? He says, being not what? Being not weak in faith, but he was what? Strong in faith. Was there ever a time in Abraham's life that he was weak in faith? Oh, yes, there was. Yes, sir. There were times in Abraham's life he was weak in faith. But if you look at the overall life of Abraham, you'll find strong, strong, strong. Weak, strong, strong. You'll find that he grew in his faith. You'll find that his faith grew stronger and stronger. His confidence in God, his belief in God was stronger. And his believing God increased. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, this particular promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but the belief. He believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe God can do that for you? Do you believe that whatever God has promised, he's able to do? I pray that God will help us to, just four words, just have faith in God. Do you believe if you try to raise your children right? Do you believe if you try to live right? Do you believe if you try to serve the Lord that God is going to bless your life? Listen, brethren, listen carefully. The Word of God says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I need to worship God. I need to serve God. I need to obey God just because I love God and because he's God. But at the same time, there is a truth in God's Word that I need to know and understand, that God provides great blessings to his people when they do honor him and they serve him for the right purpose. If you give glory to God and you have faith in God and you trust in God, God will lift you up and bless you beyond measure. Have faith in God. Now, go with me back to the book of Matthew just a moment. I want you to go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll just take a few moments right here. I'm going to jump down to Matthew 6:33 and then go backwards, because I want you to understand the point that Jesus is going to get to. In case I don't get to it, I'm going to go ahead and get to the point and then I'll back up. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus makes a declaration that every one of us needs to hear and understand and believe and obey. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Do you believe that? What are these things? We'll go back and study those. But what is him providing all these things is contingent on you doing what? You must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you know what it takes for you to seek first? Do you know what it takes for you to seek first? For you to really seek first, above everything else, for you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you know what it takes? Faith. Have faith in God. Because without faith in God, you cannot trust the Lord. Without faith in God, you cannot believe God. Without faith in God, you will not seek first the kingdom of God. You may seek first the kingdom of God for a little while, but whenever something comes up and you think, well, now I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to lose whatever if I don't do this instead of seeking first the kingdom of God, you're going to be thrown. A monkey wrench is going to be thrown into your whole life if you don't really believe God. Have faith in God. Now, what are the things he's talking about? When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are the things that will be added unto us if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Well, he goes back, go back to verse 24. Verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. No man. Can you serve God and mammon? Can you seek first the kingdom of God and at the same time seek first the things of the world? You can't seek two things the same time. You can't serve two masters. No man can serve. Do you believe God? Have you ever tried to serve two masters? Almost everybody here is trying to serve two masters. The biggest problem we have is we're trying to serve two masters. And we just don't believe what God, do we? We don't believe what God says right here. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. To whom are you a servant? You are a servant. Who is your number one master? Who are you serving most of all? Are you serving God most of all, or are you serving yourself most of all? You cannot serve God and mammon. We must serve God. first, foremost, with every fiber of our being. I must love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I must worship God. I must praise God. I must give God glory in everything. He says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. That means don't worry. He says that several times in this passage of Scripture. Take no thought. Don't worry. Don't worry. Anybody here that's worried about anything, hold up your hand if you're worried about anything at all. I thank the Lord that you're honest. We all worry sometimes, don't we? We worry. We worry. You know, the wonderful thing is that God knows the weakness of our flesh. Isn't that wonderful? God knows that you're human. God knows that sometimes you're going to worry. But listen, you don't need to be satisfied with you worrying. You don't need to accept the fact that you worry. You don't need to accept the fact that everybody worries somewhat. You need to work on not worrying. Take no thought. Because if you have faith in God, you will not worry. Every time you're worrying, it's because you don't have faith in God. Some of you have some big changes coming in your life. What do you need? Faith in God. These teenagers, as they're growing up, you know what they need in order to not yield to temptation? You know what these teenagers need? You know, sometimes a boy will say, well, if you love me, listen, don't you listen to those nasty boys. If you love God, you'll do what God says. Don't you yield to something you know is wrong trying to keep some boy. You do what God says is right. And God will give you a good husband. Have faith in God. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the necessities of life, will be provided for you if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, the devil's always trying to get us off track, isn't he? Even if you decide today, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Even as we go off to church camp this week, and we'll have a whole week away from television and newspapers and all the things of the world, you might get real close to God, but you know what's going to happen when you come back? You're going to come right back to the same things you are dealing with now. But I do hope that during this week that your faith in God will grow. I hope that your faith in God will grow every time you come to the house of God, every time you read the Word of God. I want my faith to be a lot stronger than it is today. I don't know that I could have done what Abraham did when he took his only son Isaac up on that mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. I don't know if I could have done that. I kind of doubt I could have. But I hope that before I die that my faith gets so strong, my faith, my confidence, my belief, my trust in God, I hope it'll grow. And I hope that you'll pray for me that my faith in God will grow. And I'll pray for you that your faith in God will grow. And we can work with each other and try to encourage each other that our faith in God will grow stronger. May God help us to do what Jesus said. Have faith in God is my prayer for Christ's sake.